You said about you wanted to tell a testimony about the about her at birth. Who wants to do it? Okay. All right. Let me move this out of the way. And you guys go ahead.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate my church and the love of all of you and what we have learned from Pastor Ed and how we apply what he has taught us through so many years. And when I had Eliana, I had prayed for my labor and delivery. And the Lord asked me what I wanted from the birth, and I actually didn't really know exactly what to expect, but all I prayed for was for peace and joy, that I would come out with peace and joy during that time, because as being my second time around, I knew the pain that was coming, and I did not want to fear to take over that. And all I prayed for was that it would be on a Sunday. I asked the Lord I would like it to be when Evie was asleep, because I was worried about leaving her. And when we got to the hospital, I had a lot of peace in my heart, and I knew that the Lord was going to do what I had asked for, and that it was going to be a natural birth, and that's all I wanted. And when we got there, everything was going fine. And all of a sudden, all the doctors came running in the room, and they said that I was going to have a C-section because the baby's heart rate was too high. It was 180. I think the normal is between 120 and 140. So right away, I wanted to cry because I said, Lord, this is not what you have promised me. And I did not want to lay fear in my heart, so right away I said, no, I will not take what the doctor is saying. I do not want a C-section. That's not for me. And we prayed. Wes asked the doctor if we could have some time to think about it, and she said, well, the anesthesiologist is here. Everything's ready for us to do the C-section because they wanted to do it right away. And the doctor's like, let me go over the side effects of a C-section, the risk, you know, and then she started talking about what could happen, blood transfusion, all kinds of things that I did not want to hear. And I said, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That's not for me. So then she's like, I'll give you 5 minutes to talk and we'll be back. And Wes said, you know, let's pray. So we prayed, and 10 minutes later, the doctor came back and said, have you guys been praying? Because the baby's heart rate went down, it's normal, and we're going to let you go ahead and have a natural birth. And, you know, all I said was, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord, because this was a miracle. We did not have a name for our daughter until that day. We had two names picked, but we were not sure which one. And Eliana was one of the ones we agreed on. And he Googled the meaning of her name. And Eli is for Eli, the priest, the high priest. And Anna is for Hannah, who could not have children in the Lord. She promised the Lord that she would dedicate the child to him if he would allow her to have children, and he did. So that's where her name comes from. It means God has answered my prayer. And, you know, we knew right away that that was the name we were going to use. So thank you so much. Yeah.
Praise God. Before we go into our message this morning, let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for the opportunity that we are gathered here together. And Father, we thank you, Father, I just thank you so much for the body of Christ. I just thank you, Father God. Lord, I realize and know that the body of Christ many times has a lot of problems, but Lord God, it's still the best group to belong to. Hallelujah. And I thank you so much for being a part of this wonderful group, Lord God, a people of faith. And Lord, when Christians get together, and looking to you, Lord God, I want to thank you for the great encouragement it brings to us and the help it brings to us. And we thank you this morning as we look into your word. I thank you, Father God, that we do have the Holy Spirit to rely on, that we're not just doing these things on our own. Lord God, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit this morning that's in each believer here today, the one who guides and leads into the truth. We want to thank you, Lord God. We recognize the Holy Spirit as the great teacher of the church. And Lord, I rely on the Holy Spirit to teach, and I want to thank you, Lord God, for the anointing of God to minister as the oracles of God. Father, because we desire that people be blessed, helped, and encouraged, and we thank you that we will not be disappointed. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm teaching, and I'm going to go on and teaching in a series that the Lord had spoken to me about. And really, in some way, it was a little bit toward the supernatural, because over time, you know, I get led by the Spirit to do certain things. But the one morning, the Lord spoke to me concerning this, and he quoted me the scripture from 3 John in verse number 2. And it said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And the Lord told me he wanted me to, and it really clearly told me he wanted me to teach a series. And he said, I'm supposed to use the title, which I don't know that he's ever specifically said use a title, but it says, "Above all things." And so I thought, well, where does he want to go with this? And we began teaching and looking these things concerning God's people and what God plans. If you read 3 John, you find out that there was qualifications to the gentleman named Gaius that the apostle John said that he, above all things, he wanted him to prosper and be in health. He didn't just put that across the board, just like, well, it's just going to happen to everybody. We find that Gaius was a guy who was following the Lord, but what he was doing, he was helping promote the gospel, and he was in tune with the body of Christ. And we find out in that same short letter that there was a gentleman who was seemed to be as a pastor of a church who was not doing that. He was a hindrance. He was trying to cause trouble in the body of Christ, and it wasn't spoken well of him. So this teaching really is, and we're talking about these things, God's desire or God's perfect will for all believers is to prosper and be in health. He wants them to. That's his desire and his plan. We need to understand this about life, and I've talked about this before, but the church in general in teaching has looked to, well, the general teaching has been what we would call in years ago, you don't hear the term used much anymore, it's called Calvinism. And Calvinism was the foundation of most of Christianity in America, had a good base of Calvinism. And the idea of Calvinism is God's in control and running everything. Well, personally, if he is, he sure made a mess of everything. God's not controlling everything. It's interesting, you look at scriptures and we find in scriptures, the scriptures tell us many things about God's perfect will, but we find out that's not going on. So God's perfect will is not being controlled in the earth. God can't control it. It's an impossibility because he would have to go against his own word. Man has the authority of whether he wants to follow God or not. Now, God's perfect will, that is everybody would come to repentance. That's God's perfect will. Well, is that happening? Well, then God's will isn't being carried out in the earth to many people. In fact, the majority of the earth, God's will is not being carried out. And it's very interesting, you know, if God was controlling everything, then everybody would come to Christ and we would never have had the book of Revelation. Because the book of Revelation is what happens to people who don't follow the will of God. That's what it's about. In other words, the book of Revelation is about God's will being carried out of people who don't follow his perfect will. That's what it's about. So this is the places, and God's going to deal with people who didn't walk in his will. He's going to deal with them. And we need to understand that. We need to grasp that fact, is because over the years of all the things that I've run into, and even though God wants us to prosper, even though God wants people to be healthy, most of the church world doesn't believe that. Most of the church world believes that God's killing people and doing all kind of stuff, trying to work things out and stuff. It always amazes me, because I would, if any of that is true, then Jesus didn't portray the Father. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't make one person sick. And he said, "I only do what I see the Father do." Well, he should have been killing, stealing, and destroying, according to much of the church world today. Jesus didn't. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." And see, If we need to understand this, no matter how God or God wants you and I to be blessed in life, it's not going to fall on you because He wants it to. We have a part to play in that. Everything in life, we need to understand, there's a God side and there's a man side. Now, you can always count on this. We sing in songs about He's able, He's faithful. We sing stuff about this. And number one, He is always. Now, I haven't always been so faithful. Have you? Have you always been as faithful as you thought? Well, you know, there's consequence to everything. You know, the Bible says, New Testament, we reap what we sow. It doesn't say, I reap what God wants. It says, I reap what I sow. So in other words, there's things that I can either do that would enhance God's blessing in my life, or I could do things that would cause me to have a lot of problems. I could open up the door to things that would cause me a lot of problems. Well, let me say, I understand and know about that opening the doors up to cause me problems because I've done that. I know what that's like. I know what it is. But if we don't get ourselves set straight in our thinking, no one will ever be able to walk in the fullness of faith that God wants toward them. We need to understand this. God's desires, because God's the apostle prayed for Gaius and said, you know, I'm praying for you, because he said, the King James says, I wish, but actually, you find most translations say, I pray. If you look up the word, it is. In fact, in its context, it would be, I pray to God that you prosper. Well, why would John be praying for God to prosper him and to be him in health? What is that? Everybody else is supposed to be sick or something. Why put that letter in there and need for the rest of us either? So I wouldn't understand that. But God wants us to prosper and be in health. It's just like with them. Now, he told John, this was what I want. But that doesn't mean it's just going to fall on him. This is what he wants. God tells us there's promises in the Bible. The Word of God says this, New Testament, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So I can say this without any kind of doubt. For every believer, every promise God has put in the Bible is already, God says, it's yours. I'm saying yes to it. Every one of them. I'm saying yes. Because if they're not, then we're going to have to tear that page out of the Bible that had that on there. It said all the promises are yes and amen. And then we're going to have to throw away most of Paul's writings, because how can we believe any of it if he lied on some of them? The word's true. All the promises are yes and amen. And there's one thing. See, you can never have strong faith in God as long as you have doubts about God. As long as you have doubts about Him, you can't have strong faith. As long as there's doubts, if there's certain things that you hold doubts about God, then that place, you can't enter a place of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. In other words, this, you could not possibly please God if it isn't by faith. It's impossible. See, most people are trying to do all their pleasing by God. If I do this or I do that, then God, you do that. We talked last week about Hannah and faith. In fact, last week, the message I got it on Sunday morning. I had another one planned, but God had other plans. But we found out about Hannah. Hannah was going through all this torment and all this problem about having a child. She was going through the thing. She was squalling, bawling, and all this stuff. She made a promise to God to give her child to the Lord, but that didn't get her a child. It wasn't until she came to faith. And the priest spoke a word to her that brought her to faith, and for the first time, she was at rest in peace. It was why? Nobody ever preached faith to Hannah. She had a husband who was under a covenant. All these covenant people around them, she's under the curse of the law. The Bible told him, if a woman couldn't have a child, it was a curse. It's a curse. She was living under the curse. And her husband says to her, you know, she's walking around, I'm cursed. Her husband's other wife is giving her a hard time because she can't have a child. She's living under a curse. And her husband said, look, I'm better. You ought to be happy with me. I'm better than 10 sons. You know what? That don't take away that God said you're not supposed to be in this situation to begin with. And this is His answer to her. Instead of going to the Word of God and saying, hold it, this thing ain't right. We're going to go, no, just let it go the way it is. Now, I want you to understand this. This is what the majority of the church does all the time. They make excuse instead of going to the Word and standing. They go and they make an excuse. They make an excuse. Well, look, you got me. Or they'll say to the woman who wants to have a child, you can adopt. Well, you can have babies and adopt. My God, why do we have to do it another way? The Bible tells us in Ephesians, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. You read what the curse of the law has in it. Go read what the curse is. But we don't look at it that's a curse going on in the earth. This earth, there's a curse going on down here, and it's not for the church. But the church believes God uses the curse to teach us. The last I had, Jesus said to the apostles, they were going to be cleansed by the Word. Oh, he should have made them sick. Maybe they got it done faster. I don't know. Maybe. But see, we have these things. We form religious beliefs and down through. Those are the things that I was taught as a child growing up. And there's one thing it did not lead me to Christ. It led me away from Christ because I thought God was the problem in the earth. I always thought God was the problem. They would say what a wonderful God he is, but he was killing everybody. Everything bad happened. God did it for a purpose. And when I was 11 years old, my parents asked me if I wanted to go to heaven, and I said no. And they were just totally shocked. They didn't know what to say. I said, why would you think this God that's always doing bad stuff to you here is going to be nice when we get there? The Bible says God changes not. He changes not. If he's treating you rotten here, it ain't going to change when you get there. See, we preach a schizophrenic God. And I'm serious. That's what he's schizophrenic. Good guy, bad guy. It's good guy, bad guy. This guy over here, he's really nice. Don't turn your back. The pill might not be working, and you're done. Now, folks, but you got, if you have these things, it's always going to limit you. You cannot be confident in anybody you can't trust. If I can't trust God with my health, what is the point to me going to him about it? Because I can't approach him in faith because I don't know what he's going to do. Faith is never based upon what you don't know about God. You can only have faith in what you know. You cannot have faith. It's just like, say, over the years. Now, I've known Mike for years. Since I've been a Christian, I've known Mike for years. And Mike has always been trustworthy. I know him by knowing Mike. Now, there's people that I don't know that can be very good people, but I don't know them. You know, over the years, I've had people come along and ask me things and told me to trust them. And I'd say, I can't do that. And they look at you, well, you're a Christian. I'd say, well, let's hold it right here. My trust is based upon knowledge of knowing you. I don't know who you are. How would I know I trust you? I don't know your performance. I don't know if you're honest. I don't know if I gave you money that you'd pay it back. I don't know that because you don't have performance. Trust is always based upon performance. Many times the teaching of the Bible has made people not trust God. We don't know what he'll do. I was born and raised in church, and all they did is talk about, you never know what God's going to do. I used to think, boy, this is a good one. You never know what he's going to do. Well, see, he's God, and he don't have to tell you. He don't have to do that. But it says right in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, his whole point of being in the earth is to take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. It also tells us that the things of God, he's going to reveal them to us. Well, then there's really no reason in the church for lack of knowledge. There's no reason in the church. The lack of knowledge comes from sound teaching of the Bible. The lack of knowledge. And see, God wants you to be able to come to him and trust him. He wants to, you know, if you approach God on the basis of his word, you are guaranteed from God what he said he would do. There is no one who ever came to Christ the way the scripture says to do it and they got refused. Never one time. The promises that God lays out in salvation, if you follow it, work perfectly. How come the church preaches that the other ones don't? You can't trust the rest of them. But salvation, There's been nobody who ever believed in the Lord Jesus in their heart and confessed his lordship who didn't get saved. That's never taken place. Why? It's a promise of God. If a person does it, it will always work. Now, not everybody that says a prayer. I know people who have gone through prayers and I know their hearts weren't in it at all. They were unchanged people. Just mouthing some words don't do nothing. But if you do it according to the way the scripture says, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. That's what the Bible says. And you know what? It works. That's how I got saved. It was such a simple thing. You see, I was born and raised in a church, and they, you know, the churches used to have altars, you know, went in and myself, and people go to the altar and pray. Well, their idea was this was salvation. You come and pray through. So you would go to the altar and people would pray to you, pray through. They never told us faith. And I never, you know, and my parents, they were raised in this belief. And they were good people. But they didn't know. They were taught a certain way. And anyhow, I forget, we went to a church one time, and my parents took to this church, and they heard about this church, and they wanted to go visit. And I remember it was on a Sunday afternoon, and this church had a Sunday service. In fact, I was really little. I don't even remember where the church was even at. But we went to this church, and the minister of the church had preached a message and that stuff, and then he had an altar call, and he had people come up and make a confession to Christ to be born again. And I'll never forget my mother making this statement. And I heard my mother say this. Oh, you can't get saved like that. It ain't that easy. I remember saying that. In other words, this guy's totally wrong. But my mother was totally wrong. She didn't know, but she was totally wrong. It was that simple. She was totally wrong. You know, Paul didn't say you had to go small ball, roll around the floor, kick, do everything, you know, get God to like you, then maybe he might save you. It don't say that. We go to Romans, the 10th chapter. It tells you what you must believe in your heart, what you must say from your mouth to be born again. The Bible lays it out completely clear. The church has added so much and put so much song and dance in the whole thing. And no wonder it's complicated things, and it ends up in a works, which is a stench in the nostrils of God. It's like Jesus told the Pharisees, you make worse childs of hell. We don't want to do that, do we? I don't. You know, and look, we're not saying these things. Now, look, there's many of us here. I was born and raised in a church. Really, they didn't know. They were nice people, good people. It's amazing. I mean, my parents were born again. But, you know, really, the knowledge of their new birth didn't really become as real to them till after they had gained some knowledge about what was going on as through the years, where they became confident about salvation because they were sort of the things like in and out a little bit all the time, you know. I had an uncle who was always in and out because he came through that road, and he wasn't sure, you know, about his salvation because, you know, well, did I do the right thing? Did I do this? Did I do that? And through the grace of God, it was one of the most incredible things that ever happened. I was a young Christian. I was only 30 years old. I got born again. I got born again in January. And that summer, my uncle was dying. And he lived down in Virginia. And I went down to Virginia to visit down there. I was just a young Christian. And I knew about my uncle going through this thing of all the time they were talking about. He had gotten emphysema really severe. And he had got the point, he was at the point of death. So he was at this point of dying. We went to visit, thought, well, we'll go down and see my uncle before he passes. So we're going to go visit with him. So we went down to visit with him, and I just saw he just didn't have a security about his salvation. And I realized then later on why he didn't. It was because of what was preached to him. What was preached to him is what he had. So he never had a security because, you know, you never know with God. You know, he's a mystery. And but I remember I was just as a baby Christian. I began to pray because I thought this is terrible, my uncle not having a surety. And I was praying and I went to praying about my uncle and I began to ask God. And this is why we were down in Virginia. And I asked God concerning healing of my uncle. And the Lord said this to me and it was very clear. He spoke to me and said, he's going to come home to me. He's coming home. He's not going to be healed. He's going to come home. He said he's not in a position to be healed. Well, I understood later on why. It was because he had no faith. He had never been taught anything about it. He knew nothing about that stuff. He had no faith. It's never been preached to him. He had never heard the preaching that God would. He always heard God was making you sick for a reason. He just could never figure out the reason. But anyhow, I just said this to the Lord, and I was just a baby Christian. I said, Lord, I don't want my uncle going home like this. I said, people around him, and he's leaving, and I knew inside that the man's a Christian, but you know, his head didn't know that. His head wasn't sure. Inside, he's born again. But there's all this going on the outside, and nobody's ever put an assurity in his heart. And I said, Lord, before he leaves this place, I want him to have a testimony to people about where he's going and, you know, his confidence about this thing. Number one, it'll help him, but shouldn't we leave with a testimony? Shouldn't we leave? The church shouldn't be nothing like the world. You know, funerals in the church should be nothing like the world's funerals. My God, they went to heaven. I'm just upset I didn't get to go too. Dear Lord. If heaven was real, we wouldn't act like we do about people leaving the earth who's a Christian. We would be jealous. I'll tell you what, leave this earth, my words, don't cry for me, dear Lord. It's what I've been looking for. I want to step into glory. Oh, weep for me, I'll tell you. But anyhow, I said, Lord, this man needs a testimony. I want my uncle to leave his testimony. Now, I'd never expected to happen what took place. But my cousin's wife gives us a call on the phone some days after we left Virginia. And anyhow, what happened with the man was he was staying in his son's house, who was my cousin. He was staying in his home, and they had a room for him there. And he was bedridden. He couldn't get out of bed. His breathing was so bad, oxygen depletion from the body. And he's laid out there. But she walked in the room and she told us, she said, I went in the room to check on him. And I walked in the room to check on him. And she said, I thought he died. And she said, because it didn't seem like he had any breath or anything. But she said, when I checked closely, she said, I realized he was alive. But I mean, she said, I thought he went into a coma. Something happened. I didn't know what took place. So this, she stayed there in the room with him and that stuff. And I think they had called the doctor and stuff, but anyhow, she's staying in a room with him, and this goes on for a period of time, an hour or so, and all of a sudden she said, he just completely snapped out of it, looked at her and said, I beat you there. She said, and they called him Pop. I said, what are you talking about, Pop? He said, I beat you there. She said, I said, well, what do you mean, beat you there? He said, heaven. He said, I went up there, and I saw Jesus, and I was talking to Mom. And he said, I saw my brothers up there, my brothers. He said, I saw them and we were talking. And he said, you know, talk, they knew that I'm coming. They know that I'm going to be there shortly. And he was talking about these things. And he said, like on this thing. Now what they did, they recorded this whole thing. They had it recorded. So I do still have a tape of it. And anyhow, they recorded this. And he talked about it. He called them castles. He said, oh, you ought to see the castles up there. Now here's a man who is, they said before, I mean, this man's so weak, his body can't move, he can't lift his arms enough stuff, they have to feed him and everything like that. She said, that night, he said his hands were in the air and he praised God all night, never put his hands down one time. They said he laid there the whole time with his hands in the air, just worshiping and praising God all night. And I heard that thing and I thought about it. All I did was ask God to do something for me, to benefit somebody else. Well, it couldn't have been because Ed was just such a bright, just full of everything right, you know, and I was a preacher of the gospel. Man, I didn't. This is God's response to people. You see, God's great desire, you know, is one thing the Lord told me over the years, because dealing in the areas of health, many times, for many reasons, sometimes people can't have the perfect will of God. Sometimes it can be lack of knowledge. The Word says that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We're destroyed for it. I do have some scriptures I was going to do. I did have another plan. I'm honest, I do. I get there and then God comes over and takes over. But God's plan, see, God wants people. God's desire is for people to have something perfect in His will. But it's like I said, sometimes a person doesn't know because they haven't been taught, they haven't learned, so they don't know. Sometimes there's people do things wrong that cause them problems and they can't step into the perfect will of God. There can be many reasons why people don't. There's people sometimes, and I've had this happen, people know what the will of God is, they could be and step into it, but they refuse to. I've had it happen. People won't do it. You say, why? I ain't got a clue. Beyond me. Kenneth E. Hagin talked about a man that he went to minister to, a missionary. Could not believe that God wanted to heal him. Jesus actually showed up in the room. He saw the Lord and still wouldn't accept his healing. Don't you think because people... See, we have this idea that if things happen, the children of Israel saw every day for 40 years the miracles of God. Every day there was a fire, a cloud of fire. There was a pillar of cloud in the daytime and at night a thing of fire. Did they follow God? No. Don't think because people see that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You know what? It's just, you know, we talked about this. If you go over to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the first 3 verses, it talks about there Israel, dealing with Israel. It says they heard the same gospel preached, but they didn't mix faith with it. It didn't do them any good. They heard, but there's people refuse to do things. And he said, so what? They couldn't enter into rest. See, that's what faith is. Faith is entering into rest. You know, I mean, think about it. We had the testimony this morning. The doctors are saying words that definitely don't bring rest, does it? Those words that the doctors were saying were not bringing rest, were they? But when they would get back over to the promise of God, it would bring them rest. God's rest isn't that everything's going to work out around you. They went believing God and things looked like they were going the other way. You enter into rest because you decide to believe what God says rather than what you see and what you hear. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If your faith is based on what you see, it is not God faith, it is world faith. It is faith like the heathen has. Our faith is based upon what we don't see. I believe in Jesus. He ain't ever appeared to me in a vision per se as Jesus showed up and there stood Jesus talking. I didn't see him. Yet I believe in him. And what did Jesus tell the apostle Thomas? He said, Thomas, you believe because you see. He said, blessed are those who don't see and believe. He didn't tell Thomas he was blessed. There's no blessing than have to see it before you believe it. There's no blessing in that. The blessing, they stood when all the natural circumstances said something else and they said, hold it, we have a promise. We believed something. We have stood. Yes, you're saying this. I don't care what natural circumstances. This is what you're saying, but the Bible says something. We determine whether we're going to hold the Word of God or where we're going to hold the Word of men. The church, the majority of the church world, is run by the voice of men. It's run by the voice of men. The men constantly contradict the Bible in the church. They constantly contradict it. And you know what? It's always been like that. Think about the children of Israel. We've been teaching on Moses. We know that there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60 years old. So it puts the actual population of the whole thing is probably about 1.5 million people. Only 2 men made it into the promised land out of that group. There's only 2 that believed God. I remember over the years that preachers made such a big deal with Elijah, and he said, I'm the only one left. And God said, I preserved 7,000 who didn't bow their knee. There was tens of millions of people in Israel, and only 7,000 were believing. Yet they were all covenant people. Only 7,000. You know what? There's always been and always will be a remnant that follows God. And I've said it for years and I'll say it again. If you follow the crowd, you're going to miss it. What you do is you follow the word. And I'll tell you what, I found this out. The more I follow the word, the more opposition I get, even from in the church. The church world. I've been told, you can't take the Bible so seriously. I've been told by people, people consider great Christians. You know, you'll get in that so much, you'll get crazy. Oh, but you can get into the world and they're thinking and you're going to be okay. You just keep following what everybody else is doing. You'll be all right, Ed. You need to get over here, get in some unbelief. See, I've been told this. You need balance. And balance means this. You've got to have unbelief and faith. If you mix them together, it makes a good combination. If you mix them up real good, then that'll work. Yes, yes. No, there's only one way that we go. That's following the word. God told Joshua to go into the land. He said, you're going to have to follow all the commandments that I gave Moses. For him to fulfill, he couldn't add something else. He told him to have success was going to be based on how close he followed what Moses taught, which was the law was given. We're not under the law. But I want to tell you what, it's the same way with our covenant. How close you follow the covenant, your success. Now, you might be successful among people, but that don't mean you having success. Are we having success with God? See, I want the kind of success when the doctor comes and says it ain't working, and I can stand up and say, yeah, but I know God. God said something, and I'm staying with what God said. No, that's not mine. I like that. That ain't mine. I'm not. That don't belong to me. That's yours. That don't belong to me. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, years ago, I heard him say this, and I heard him say it a number of times over the years. He said, God's desire is for Christians to have a backbone like a crowbar, and he said most of them have a backbone like a string. When it comes to standing in the Word of God, you're going to have a backbone like a crowbar because everything in this earth runs in opposition to the Word of God. Everything. You're always going to have, every time you step out toward God, there's opposition. And this is why America ended up in the mess that America's in, is because the church was not a resistant to the devil in this nation. They were part of it. They called it love, but it wasn't love at all. It was accepting every evil thing that comes along, opening their arms. We're trying to be nice. The Bible says this, and I think, the scripture's true. If we're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to suffer persecution. I found it's true. I didn't like it at first when I heard it as a baby Christian. Kenneth Hagin made this statement. Everybody speaking well of you and everybody speaking nice of you, he said, is probably because you're living ungodly. He said, because if you're going to follow God, you're going to suffer persecution. There's people going to persecute you. There's always going to be ones. And I found out that to be true. I can say this truthfully in my Christian walk. I have gotten more opposition from, quote, the church than I have from the world. Do you know where Jesus got the majority of his? It wasn't from the heathens. When you start walking close to the word, religion hates it. Religion hates. There's things sometimes God just has to touch about me and make me look at because you get over and you lack certain things and you lack it certain ways. God has a tendency to get me over there to say, you see what you're doing? You like that, but here's what my Bible, my word says about that. But everybody's going that way. Everybody's doing that way, and that's the way. Well, you know what's going to happen. I had a terrible hard time as a young Christian, and I always felt like, God, everybody's going this way, and you keep sending me that way. He said, I just want you to follow the word. Do what the word says. Do what the word says. I said, Lord, they don't like it. They don't even like to hear it. I remember them. First church that the Lord sent me to specifically to go help and help this pastor. And I'll just never forget something. They were sitting and they had this meeting. And I was at this meeting and they were talking about different things and saying about what to do and this and that. And I'll never forget, I got up. I said, well, I said, the Bible answers that question. And I'd only been born again a couple years. I said, well, the Bible answers that question, and I read to them what the Bible says. And I'll never forget the stare down. They looked at me like, hold it. And then this came out. Yeah, well, that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, some things are just different. You know, we just got, okay. They had their religious path they wanted to take. Over the years with that ministry, I watched them do that time and time again over the years. And man, they ended up way off base. Way off base. You know what? God had called that thing, and God had called, I knew God had called that pastor to pastor that church. God had called them in a direction, but they wouldn't take the direction. They kept following off onto things. Well, this looks good here, that looks good there. Following off on things and leaving the Word of God. Leaving the Word of God. There's nothing more precious to me. You need to understand this. To reject the Word is to reject Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word to me is a very serious thing. And when somebody says, well, that just doesn't fit today. Times have changed. No, people have changed. Time has not changed. Time's no different with God. The Word changes not. And the great glory of it is just like Wes and Maria standing on the Word. They're standing on promises that were written thousands of years before they ever even came to the place where having children, and they written, and it worked for them. Because they stood believing what the Word of God said. Because they stood believing. They heard faith preach and they decided to mix faith with it. And it worked for them. It don't change. The Word never changes. The power of the Word. Situations change. But God never changes. The Word never changes. Generations always come along and have better ideas that make things worse. You know, when I was a kid, I thought my parents were idiots. And then I got a little bit older and I finally figured out I was the idiot. Most people never find that out. Thank God I did. Most people still think they're bright. You know, if it won't be God, you ain't going to be bright. You're going to do all kind of dumb stuff. You're going to be an idiot. There's no such thing as education without God. There is no education without God. All you did is you'll teach sinners how to lie, cheat, and steal in better ways. That's the only thing you'll do. You'll teach them how to be bigger con men. Without God, this stuff don't work. Education is, you'll never find an education. Look, the Soviet Union tried it out. They educated their people. Did it get better? Did the Soviet Union do better educating without God? No. Didn't work. Never will. It never will. Wisdom comes from one place. It's God. And it comes from His Word. Hallelujah. And that's the path we're on. And I tell you what, we'll see here in America. If there will be a remnant, and I believe there's a remnant in the church world who's standing up. There's people saying, hey, look, this stuff we've been, you know, and we're going to have to come to it. Preachers are going to have to admit, we're preaching the wrong stuff. This stuff don't work. We aren't getting better. We aren't getting closer to God. We don't see more of God. We're going to see more of it as we draw closer to Him, not Him drawing closer to us. Do you realize, you know, as like people said, I was been taught the time I was a kid, the prodigal son, that's a picture of God, the wayward child coming home. Well, did God run out and get into the sin of the world with the son? The son had to come home. It's time for the church to come home. It's time for Christians to start coming home. We're singing Preparing the Way. There's only one way. There ain't way number two, way number three. There ain't another Bible. Men can write and say and do what they want. But it's time for the church world to come out of the pig pen that they called church and come back to God again and come home again and say, God, Your Word's true, and let every man be a liar. If I ain't telling what the Word is true, then God, I want it exposed. I'm a liar. I'll tell you, my desire is this day and age, the lying preachers get exposed. And not to hurt them, they need to see that they're not telling the truth about God. They need to see the hope for humanity. And this thing out here, God's not the problem of America. God is the glory of America. He wants to move in this nation. He desires to do wonderful things. I could sit here for hours and tell you the things God revealed to me, visions I've had concerning this valley of God's perfect will, what He wants to do here that has been hindered by the church. The church is the problem! Because the church is filled with religion and their religious ways, and they want to keep doing things besides what God says. God's desire, God has a plan. And I want to tell you what, if I'm opposed to it, I'm a problem in the way. And I want to tell you this, there's going to be problems moved without from the way. There's people who've been standing, and they're not going to be standing anymore. Judgment is coming to the house of God. Judgment's coming to the house of God. And people, I know many people won't understand. Why, that seemed like a good person. Yeah, who called them good? You? Me? What did God think on the subject? See, if I'm not lying with the Word, I won't know. To me, what I would call good may not be good. I've had ministers come to me and tell me certain things were good things. Wasn't nothing good about it at all. It was nothing but the world and the flesh. The world and the flesh. And we need, as believers, to come back to the glory of God again. And the glory of God is found in His Word. And the glory doesn't manifest just because God wants to. He requires His people to cooperate with Him. When Solomon built the temple, he didn't build it with his ideas of how he thought worship ought to be with God or what he thought ought to be done. There was a plan handed to him by his father. And his father handed him a plan and said, this is God's plan for building the temple that we worship Him with. This is the plan. This is what God has established and God did. And when they followed it, exactly what God said, the glory of God came and filled the temple. Until the church builds the house that God has required, the glory will not come to the house. The glory won't come to the house. The glory comes to the house when the people follow the plan of God that is always through the Scriptures. From the first tabernacle built, after it was built exactly as prescribed, the glory came to that tabernacle. The glory came to the temple. When the Jews rebuilt the temple, the glory came back to the temple again as it was prescribed by God. We need to understand, in this, we aren't building physical houses. That isn't what we're the temple of God, and much of the temple of God is following everything but God, following the ways of men and what men say and men's ideas. And we need to come back and rebuild again. We need to do as Isaac did, go back and redig the wells of his fathers. We need to go back and look at people who followed and walked with God and make them copies, not the copies of what we have today. The copies we have today is nice religious stuff, but I tell you what, it isn't the wells of the past. You know the wells of the past in many churches, like the Brethren Church. I remember my dad handing me a book one time of the bylaws and all the things of the Brethren Church years and years back. This goes back in the 1800s. I mean, divine healing and all that stuff was all in there. They believed in all those doctrines. They don't believe none of that stuff today. They don't believe in nothing, none of that stuff. They don't believe, they say, and I've had ministers tell me of those churches, well, you know, we follow after what our fathers did. Dear Lord, where did you ever find your dad was at? Dear Lord. What people believed in the past and what we do today are totally different things. They're totally changed. And people believe they're following the right way. You're not going to know you're following the right way to go look to see if you're following the right way. I don't say I'm following the right way because some guy told me I was. You've got to go back to the truth of the Word of God. You've got to go back to the truth to find out. Find out somebody who walked with God, who got something and knew how to hook up with God. That's who I'm going to hook up with. I'm going to hook up with somebody who knows God. I'm not going to hook up with somebody who just talks a nice game and says all kind of nice stuff. I'm not interested in just saying nice stuff. I want to know the truth. The truth makes us free. The truth makes us free. Hallelujah. And that's the Word of God. And so we need to know the truth. I want to know what changes I have to make. I want to know where I'm missing it. I don't want to keep going. I don't want just, well, everything seems to be pretty nice, and, you know, things are going along. I have, you know, money's pretty good, and I just, you know, this, everything just, that can't be that way. Life is just sort of nice. Things are going along, they believe. That's not good enough, not in this day and age. We're coming down to the end of the age. Jesus said when this thing's in, that men are going to come to see and say all these things they did in his name, and he's going to go say, I don't even know you. He didn't say he's going to say that to the world. Why? They did it in their name. Kenneth E. Hagin's favorite scripture was, see, people think it was Mark 11:24. It wasn't. It was, lest God build the house, they labor in vain that built it. And he used to always say when he made that quote, it didn't say they didn't build it. They built it, but God wasn't in it. He said, we got to build what God wants. The house that God wants to build. And without faith, you can't build it. It's impossible. Without faith in his word, it's impossible to do it. It is not possible. Hallelujah. Faith isn't something that we had one time. Faith isn't something that took place. The word believe in the New Testament is a continuous action verb. It's to continue to believe. It's continually walking, continually following. It's continual. Faith doesn't just, I believed one time and I got saved. I'll tell you what, if you don't walk in your salvation and live in your salvation and meditate on what the scripture says about it after a while, you'll be like my uncle was. You'll wonder if you are. I don't want to go there. Alice went to Wonderland. Ed's not going to Wonderland. I ain't going down some rabbit hole. I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. I'm going to follow the word of God. I'm going to follow what God says. Hallelujah. And there's no Wonderland with God. Wes and Maria didn't have no Wonderland, did they? They didn't have one. When they stood on the promise, did they have a Wonderland? No. Hallelujah. I mean, the doctors finally come and said, you must have been praying. He should have known, you know. They're trying to tell him the whole time they're standing on God. It's like, you'd have caught on by now, buddy. You would have known by now where we're standing. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, faith has become obsolete in the church. It's become obsolete. Christians don't recognize it when it's going on. Jesus said this. He could see their faith. Faith ain't some hidden thing. I'm going to tell you what, if you can't see your faith, you ain't got none. Good preaching, folks. It's good preaching. Faith is to be seen. That's why we can't quit at what we do. We never stop at what we do. We never stop in our walk. We never quit following God. We never quit following the Word. We stay with it. Why? Because I'm living in a world where I walk by faith, so what is inside of me manifests on the outside for the others to see. There's no such thing as having spiritual blessings and them not manifest in the natural. Things don't manifest. If my spiritual, what I've become spiritually, don't show up on the outside, what good is it? It's of no value to anybody in this earth. It is no value to anyone here. Our lives become valuable when our faith manifests and others can see it. Others can see what we got. Others can see God work in your life. You see, they saw what God did. See, we see what God does. Faith produces something. It's not just some nice little thing that I have all to myself. Your faith was never to yourself. It was never, that is the selfishness of the world. My faith, I follow God for other people. You're supposed to follow God for others. It's not some kind of, this is my personal thing. Jesus would have felt like that, we'd all be going to hell. This is my personal thing. It's not a person. We follow God so others can follow God. Hallelujah. We got to throw the world out of the church. Hallelujah. We got to quit pointing the finger at the world. They're not the problem. Go read 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Paul told them about the sin in the church. He said, I didn't tell you to stay away from the world. They were going to affect you. He said, it's the sin in the church. It's the people in the church, the immoral ones, all this kind of stuff. He said, they're the ones that are a problem you shouldn't be as much as eating with. And what the church does is build ministries to them. Instead of saying, you knock that off, and we don't do that in the church. That's wrong for the church. It doesn't fit the way of life. And the church is pointed at the world. I'm not upset at the world. I'm upset at what goes on in my own family. The church. It has to stop. It must quit. We need to come back to righteousness again and back to holiness again. We need to come back where the Word of God is held at a standard. That if God says no, there's no other word in my voice than no. Oh, but you don't understand. Yes, and don't try to explain it to me. I don't want to. If God has said it, then it's so. God's the blesser. And I learned this over the years. I will be blessed if I follow the Word. I will be blessed. And I am. I've been blessed and blessed and blessed. Blessed and blessed. Father, let's stand to our feet. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, you're raising an army. You're raising a people who will make and set a standard. A people who will not be moved. That's your great desire. You want a people of great boldness and great strength, Lord God. Hallelujah. A people who are not afraid. A people who don't cower down, Lord God, because the devil sticks his head up and the wicked start saying things and the wicked are doing things. Lord God, a people that are not moved. Father God, you're raising up and you desire earnestly to raise up a voice in this nation. A voice of righteousness and a voice of holiness. And a voice, Lord God, that speaks out. Lord God, I pray. I pray, Lord God, to raise up the prophet's ministry in the church today. Lord God, I pray to raise it up in the church. Lord God, I pray that churches become uncomfortable places for people who want to walk in the way of the world. I pray, Lord God, that your voice will begin to speak in those churches. And Lord God, because I believe, Lord God, that if many people hear the truth, they'll turn and they'll come back and they'll walk again. Lord God, where the truth has not been spoken. Lord, only the religion of men. But Lord God, your dear people. Lord God, it is such a shame. Don't know how to live by faith or walk by faith. Lord God, how shameful it has been among us. They haven't known. They haven't been taught. They haven't been trained. So they could follow you and please you, Lord God. And Lord God, there's many wonderful believers that are trying to please you. They're trying to do all kind of things to please you. But they don't know how to walk by faith. And Father God, they wonder why, what's going on. And Lord God, they have people around them telling them all kinds of things, except directing them to the Word of God so they can be strengthened, so they can be built up, so they can gain wisdom and understanding from the Word of God, so they can walk again in strength, Father God. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Father, America needs a strong church. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're raising up a strong remnant. I thank you, Father God. Father, I know from ministers that I'm in contact with from around this nation. Lord, there's ones that are rising up. Lord God, there's ones that are taking the shackles off. And they're taking the bondage that has been put on them. Lord God, by the religious beliefs and men's ideas and men's understanding. And they're breaking it loose and they're taking it off. And they're standing up. Hallelujah. And there's a voice again coming to America of the Word of God again. And the glory of God will be revealed in the church once more. Jesus Christ will take His place as the head. Hallelujah. He will be seen as the glorious one. Hallelujah. The one who has right to rule and dominate over the church. Hallelujah. Jesus, we want you to. You know, Jesus, we want to be and our desires to be corrected and directed, Lord God. Lord, if we're heading the wrong way or doing the wrong thing, our great desire and cry, Lord God, is we want to know what to do and how to follow you, Lord God. Lord God, we realize it takes time of growth and development. But Father God, we don't, Lord, we don't want to hit stale points where we just slow down. We don't want that anymore. Lord, we realize, I know in my heart, we can't wait and sit back anymore inside. That can't be done. That can't be done. Those days are gone forever. Because shortly the Lord will appear. Shortly the Lord will appear. And then it will be too late to change. Then it will be too late to make any changes. It won't be able to be made then. And Lord God, what changes I need to make? Because one day, my great desire, Lord God, is to look in your face and hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I don't care what people say. I don't care if they all cheer at me. Lord God, there's only one thing that I seek, is to hear the words from you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe all of us desire that. And Lord God, today I commit myself to search after you and to walk after you. I commit myself. I lay, Lord, before you my thoughts and my ideas. And Lord God, you can examine what I believe. You can examine and look at it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. You have the privilege, Lord God. I'm giving you the wonderful privilege. You straighten me out. If it needs to be straight, I want it straightened out. Lord God, the body of the Christ, your wonderful people that were saved by your hand and by your blood, they deserve to hear the truth. They deserve to be spoken to as they are saints of God and not just any other people. They need, Lord God, to have the truth spoken over them so they can develop and they can grow. They need voices in front of them with the anointing of God and not just men telling book reports from the Bible. They need men who stand, Lord God, who have heard from heaven and not heard from men. Lord God, that they stand up and speak your word and breathe life back to the church of Jesus Christ and to the wonderful saints. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, this day of what you're doing. Father, I think this message was maybe more for me than it was for them. Hallelujah. I needed this message. I needed, Lord God, just to stand up more and more. Lord God, hallelujah. Because, Father, you have big plans and you have great desires. And, Lord God, I want to be a participant in your flow of the Spirit. I don't want to be a dam. I don't want to be someone who blocks the move of God. I want to help it flow. I want to help you fulfill your plans because you have great desires for this valley. Great desires for this valley, for men to be saved, for men to be delivered and set free. And Lord God, we want to cooperate, Lord, that your will be done. And Jesus Christ will be magnified. Jesus Christ will be glorified in this place where the truth will run free again in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.